sunlight. How true that is. This morning we are remembering an event that changed this nation, changed each of us individually. But we're remembering in a way so as to understand that God is always with us, to guide and to comfort us and to take away our fears. Before I begin preaching this morning, I'd like you to take a look at this short video, which is a video that proclaims hope to our nation. You'll also notice in this video a quick picture of the cross that came up out of the rubble of the buildings. And also you'll see the site of the new Memorial Garden, a place in New York City that will soon be open for people to go and see the names of those who were killed on September 11th, 2001. Take a look, if you will. Today we remember and we move on. Our scripture lessons for the day first found in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Now we'll look at Psalms 91. We actually sang this earlier in the service, but I'd like to read it for you once more. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 6. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Thanks be to God for that assurance. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth be your words. Bless them and use them to touch our hearts and our lives. Amen. In the early spring of 2001, I was traveling on behalf of Habitat for Humanity International, and I happened to be in Los Angeles, California. Now, when you work for Habitat, you work on a very, very limited budget. And I rented the cheapest car that you could rent at the Los Angeles airport. Wasn't real sure it was going to drive at all. But it did, and I put it along in that Los Angeles traffic, and my light flashed in front of my face many times. I was going to see a family I did not know. All I knew about them was that they had made a contribution to Habitat for Humanity. I drove up to this absolutely gorgeous mansion in my little toy car. And when I drove up there, I give you my word of honor, I think that before I turned off the key, it stopped. It did this and stopped in the driveway. I got out a little intimidated, walked to the door, was greeted there by a wonderful couple named David and Lynn Angel. And I learned quickly that Lynn Angel was from Birmingham, Alabama. We spoke the same language. We both spoke Southern. So that was fun. And I asked them what they did for a living, and David very graciously deferred to Lynn and said, Lynn is a librarian. And so she told me about her work as a librarian, which was very interesting, but I knew that her work as a librarian did not pay for that house. And so I asked David, well, what do you do? And he was very humble, didn't want to talk about it. He said, I'm a writer. I said, oh, really? I said, do you write novels or do you write articles or what is it you write? He said, well, I was a writer for a television show that you may have heard of called Cheers. I said, yeah, I think I've heard of that show. And he said, I then became the executive producer of a TV show called Wings. And he said, I'm currently the executive producer of a television show called Frasier. Well, I love Frasier, so he had me right there. I love that show. We became fast friends. They were very gracious, very kind, very loving people, very unlike most Hollywood celebrities. He invited me to come to a taping of the show of Frasier, and I actually went twice. And I had a front row seat, and during the time when they had a break between taping, he would bring me something to drink or offer to bring me food or whatever he could. And at the end of the taping, he took me down on the stage. I got to sit in the old chair that the dad sat in, and they gathered around me and took my picture, and the dog jumped in my lap. It was really great. It was kind of a highlight for me. They were just really wonderful people, but little did I know what kind of impact that David and Lynn Angel would have on my life. Let's fast forward to September the 11th of 2001. I happened to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, traveling once again on behalf of Habitat for Humanity, and my son was with me. And we, like everybody else, watched as the planes flew into the buildings and as this carnage took place. And we were shaken to our foundation, and we were fearful. Our whole nation was fearful. But that night, my son and I were sitting in a hotel room, and they kept showing it over and over and again, and I said, you know, this is just unbelievably awful. I just wonder if I might happen to know someone who was involved, and I felt sure I did not. And in a few minutes, they began to show the names of the people who were on the airplanes, and the names scrolled down on the screen, and as they scrolled down, here came the names David and Lynn Angel. Wow. All of a sudden, something that just seemed distant, terrible but distant, became very, very personal. For these sweet, kind, good people died so senselessly in one of those planes. I was shaken, to say the least. I was shaken. Some of you may have known someone. But whether we did or not, this country was stricken by that. We were all in a state of fear. For some time after that, we were gripped in fear as a nation. As I was thinking about this sermon and praying about it, I recall the feelings I had after 9/11. And the psalmist must have understood how we feel, because the psalmist said to us, I love when he says, God will cover us with His feathers, and under His wings we will find refuge. His faithfulness will be our shield. It will be our rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night. You have nothing to fear, for God is always with us. Don't you just love that imagery? Don't you just love knowing that God is always there to comfort and guide and give us peace? I was not anywhere near any of the sites on 9/11. But I was a pastor at a church in Oklahoma City when the Murrah building was bombed. And I was just a few miles away from that event. And I was called upon, along with other ministers, to go down and to be a chaplain to the first responders and to the family members of those who were victims of that bombing. And I, like everybody else, would have never thought something like that could happen in Oklahoma City, of all places. But I watched as they brought the people out of the building. And as I watched, I saw one of my church members come out of the darkness of that building. He literally experienced a miracle. He was on the bottom floor of the building, and the floor above him fell this way, and the walls fell around him and protected him. He didn't have a scratch on him. But he walked out of the darkness, and one by one, he carried the bodies of 15 of his co-workers who had sat at desks around him. And he worked with them every day. He went to all of their funerals. I sat at his house one day, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, Troy, the only way, the absolutely only way that I could deal with that was because of my faith in Almighty God. And then he said something I'll never forget. He said, I have no fear. And I have no anger in my heart. And I sat there and I thought, but I have fear and I have anger. How could you not have it when you're in the midst of all of this? He taught me a lesson that we can believe in God in the worst of times. And God is always there to comfort us. He's always there to guide us. Now we can choose to live in fear if we want to. That's our choice. But let me tell you, fear will consume you. It will imprison you. It will bind you up so that you do the most irrational things and so that you do not function as you could otherwise. So you can choose to live in fear if that's what you want to do. But I choose to serve a God who takes our fear away and replaces that fear with a peace that passes all understanding. All understanding. You know, we fear many things, don't we? We fear that we're going to lose our jobs. We fear that we're going to lose our health. We fear that something bad is going to happen to somebody we love, or something bad is going to happen to us. We fear commitments. We fear relationships. We have all kind of fears in our life, and they can take us over. I grew up in a United Methodist preacher's home, and we always lived either next to or real near the church my dad served. And frequently, someone who had a meeting there would forget to turn off the lights or forget to lock the door or turn off the air or whatever, and then call our house. By the way, we forgot to do this. Would you mind going to the church and turning off the air or locking the door or whatever time you've done that? I know, many times. That's in the fine print of our job description. But I was just a little boy. Now, this is totally irrational, but I was scared to death to go into an empty church. Didn't mind going into church when folks were there, but I was scared to death to go into church that was empty. But from time to time, I was the only one that could go and do what needed to be done. So I'd go into that church, and I'm telling you, my heart was beating in my chest, and I was shaking all over. I don't know what I was afraid of. Now, you may think that's petty and insignificant, but for me as a child, it taught me firsthand just how fear can feel. It can lock you down. It can imprison you. It really can lock you down. The prophet Isaiah said it best when he said this of God, "So do not fear, for I am with you. And do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." And the psalmist says it this way, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in a time of trouble." And then these beautiful words of the psalmist, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Time and time again, the Bible tells us not to fear, that God's going to be with us. Does that mean that nothing bad will ever happen to us? No. Bad things still happen to us. But in spite of those bad things, God is always there. He never abandons us. He's always there to give us strength and comfort and guidance and help in the deepest, darkest hours of our lives. Now, like you, I see the news. I know that every day that we live, there's terror somewhere in the world. And we used to think we were safe in this country, but we don't feel that way anymore. We wonder when or if the next thing's going to happen. We wonder that about our own country now. But let me tell you something. We do not need to live in fear. For God loves us, and God cares about us. And when we trust in God, we can face anything. We can face anything that comes our way. You remember when Jesus was crucified, his own followers, his best friends, his disciples were locked in a room, shaking, afraid for themselves, fearful of their own lives, until Jesus was resurrected and appeared before them. And then their fears were calmed. Well, my dear friends, Jesus is alive. He stands before us today to comfort us in the midst of all of our fears. There's a famous quote that all of us have heard. Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "The only thing to fear is fear itself." You know, the acts of terror, as bad as they are, the most devastating of things about that is that we are locked down by fear. That's the worst thing. That's what the terrorists count on, that we become fearful, afraid to go somewhere, afraid to do anything. We become a fearful nation. Some of you may remember that I took a trip to Krakow, Poland, some years ago with a mission team. And we went to Auschwitz, that terrible death camp. And I knew that they had slaughtered millions of Jews. I did not know that they had taken prisoner many of the Polish Christians as well. And they kept them in a separate place, in a hole beneath the ground. There were no windows and no ventilation. And we were told that they stood in there shoulder to shoulder and they could not even move. And I had cold chills around my back as I thought about the very idea of being in that hole beneath the ground. But then the guide said, I want you to look at something. He pointed to the wall, and there in the wall, somebody who had been held prisoner there with their fingernail had etched a cross into the wall. And the guide said, I don't know who that person was, but I believe that person was saying, you know what? My faith is bigger than anything you can do to me. My faith in God is stronger than anything. You can kill my body, but you cannot kill my spirit. Yes, there's still terror in the world. We still live in a world where people are inhumane. And decent people, compassionate people, don't understand that. We don't get it. But listen once again to what Paul said in Romans 8. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to sin and to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And then Paul goes on to say, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Wow. We are God's children. It would be at this point where David Allen would say, can I hear an amen? Pretty good. Not bad for Methodists. I want to close with this story. I went on a mission team to Costa Rica. Went several times, actually. And one time when I was there, we were worshiping in a church, an old dilapidated church. There were exposed wires that went along the ceiling on both sides of the sanctuary. I was noticing those all during worship. But let me tell you something. Folks in Central America know how to worship. We don't have any idea how to worship here. I mean the tambourines and the guitars and the drums and the clapping of the hands and the singing and dancing in the aisles and all kind of stuff we wouldn't dare do. And we were just thoroughly enjoying that worship experience. It lasted 2.5 hours. We sang 15 verses of every song. And what I didn't realize was that in Central America, when they have a thunderstorm, they have a good one. I mean, they have good thunderstorms. You feel like you're right in the middle of it. And the thunder sounds like it's right inside the building. And there was this bright flash of lightning and a loud clap of thunder and the whole building shook. And I give you my word of honor, flames shot down both sides of that church. And all of my mission team crowded around me like little ditties. We were all like this. But you know what our Costa Rican friends did? They kept right on beating the tambourine, right on playing the guitar, right on clapping the hands, right on singing praises to God. And I realized that those folks got it. They had no fear. They had no fear. Because they knew that God was with them and that they were under His wing. Like the wing of a mighty eagle, He cared for His children. How strong is your faith today? Do you fear? Are you willing to turn your fears over to God? Are you? Let me remind you of the beautiful psalm once again. Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And amen. Let us pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we confess to You that we have been gripped by fear in so many situations in our lives. But yet we believe that You love us unconditionally, and we believe that You're always with us. So in the midst of our fears, comfort us. Give us peace. Give us strength and understanding. And love us. And we'll praise You for it. Amen. You have an opportunity, if you will, to come down and receive.